Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, October 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we have two computer experts to answer your tech questions. Tony Yang is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers. Also with us is Mark Bogosian, owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham. So if you got a tech question, give us a call right now. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Also, feel free to email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. That's voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll get to as many of those as we can as well. The number is 800-348-2551. Tony, Mark, your computer questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, here to answer your computer and technology questions. Today are Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian. Mark is the owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham, New York. With 35 years of experience, Mark offers a range of Macintosh service and tech support. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. It's now one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for many companies and organizations, including this one. If you have a tech question today, computer-related or otherwise, these guys will take a stab. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Mark Bogosian, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Ray. Good to be here. And how are you?
Pretty good. What have you heard about this new iPhone 12?
Well, a lot of bells and whistles. I haven't had my hands on one yet. I'm just a recent iPhone 10 owner, so I haven't really played with it. But it sounds like a lot of bells and whistles, great camera. Maybe not for everybody, though.
What are they up to, like 9 camera lenses now? I mean, how much is too much, right? Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tony Yang from Gig Computers. How you doing, man?
Hey, great, Ray. Nice to be back.
Anything new going on the PC front that we should know about?
Well, I think some of you might have already heard that the Windows update from October 13th is creating some potential issues for users out there. So if you can hold off on that, on the updates for a little while, that would be the safer route to go.
What are some of the issues? I have not seen this.
I guess people are getting blue screen of death, and it's causing PCs to crash. It creates audio problems, all kinds of different reports, and Microsoft hasn't officially stated what's going on yet.
Oh,
so
tremendous.
Maybe hold off on it for a little while.
Well, all that adds up to big bucks for Tony Yang. Well, congratulations. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 if you have a tech question. And let's go right to the phones. Elliot in Lenox. Elliot, you're on.
Hi there. I have a website. I've had it for about 10 years. It's worked well. It's in WordPress. But I tried to go to it today, and I got the following report. Your PHP installation appears to be missing the MySQL extension, which is required by WordPress. I'm wondering why this would all of a sudden happen, whether this might be a result of a hack or what your thoughts are on it.
Well, I don't know. Either of you guys good on the WordPress?
No.
I'm talking to our guest.
Tony.
Tony, you have any ideas?
Yes. So, Elliot, the WordPress is a platform that that people host their websites on, and they continuously update their software. It sounds to me like what's happening is you're probably running an older version of the PHP code that interfaces with the MySQL database, and it probably just needs to be updated. So it does require continual update. And if you have 10 years out of it already.
Say it again, Elliot.
How would I update it?
Yeah, so you will, depending on what type of hosting you got with WordPress, it may be as simple as updating your PHP code, or it may require an update to the entire SQL system. Did you set this up yourself in the beginning, or did somebody help you with this?
Somebody actually helped me with it, and it's really a question of how I get in there and update it.
Yeah, yeah. So the process of doing that, unfortunately, is not that simple. So I will reach out to the person that put this together for you and get them to update it. This isn't something that I will recommend an end user to do, because you could make it worse than it is now.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Elliot, good luck. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Computers and Tech Today with Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian, Jeremy and Chatham. Jeremy.
Hi. So I get this Google Chrome is not responding, especially in the morning. Now, on the internet, it says that maybe I've left too many websites open or stuff. Is there some other solution besides just closing those sites? Or what is that all about?
You get a message, Google Chrome is not responding. And does it go away eventually? That is, after you reopen Chrome?
No, what happens is it just keeps going like that. I sit here sometimes for 20 minutes in the morning waiting for it to go through the hassle of finding or whatever it needs to find, start up.
Do you have another browser that you can try at the same time? I don't know if you're using Mac or PC, but open up another browser to see. That'll often happen if you don't have a good internet connection. But the next logical step in the diagnostic cycle would be to try opening up another browser if you have.
Well, I have Mac done that. It sort of works, but not really.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I think you'd have to verify that you have a good internet connection.
It'll hang up even in Word or Excel.
Well, then something else is going on. It's not just internet then. And is this a Mac or a PC?
PC, Dell PC.
Okay. I don't know, Tony, if you have any insight there, but it sounds like all your applications are hanging up, not just Chrome.
Tony.
Right.
Mostly Chrome.
Okay. Tony, go ahead.
Yep. So Jeremy, Chrome, like many other applications out there, eats quite a bit of memory. So, you know, as you open up more browser pages, especially ones that requires updating of data throughout the session, they eat up quite a bit of memory. So you want to minimize those type of websites that you may be on, and also I would definitely do a clean scan of your computer for spywares and other things on there. I agree with Mark that maybe there's something else going on in there besides Chrome, but you can certainly go into Chrome and clear the cache and clear all the cookies. That will set it back to its default settings, and then go from there and see see if you can find the exact nature of the problem there. But clear the cache, clear the cookies, and try it again. That will tell you whether or not it's a Chrome problem or your PC problem.
Quickly, one last question. Now, I have Norton 360. Doesn't that do that for me?
Yes, it does. It runs continuously. You want to get that updated and just do a full scan of the system. When it runs continuously, it only does the memory and resident scans. You want to do a full scan of your system and then go into Chrome and clear out all the cache and the cookies on there and see if that makes things better. I suspect that will make things a lot better for you.
Jeremy, how old is that computer?
Okay, thank you.
Jeremy.
Well, it's only about 3 years old, maybe four.
You got plenty of RAM on there?
Nah, it's a lower-end model. I don't remember exactly how much, but it's only paid about $600 for it.
Well, Tony's the expert on PCs, but in my experience of frustration over 20 years of using these things or more now, you know, at some point your computing power exceed the amount of RAM you have, and then it hangs up and it's really annoying. Tony, am I wrong?
No, you are very much right. The RAM that we normally recommend people to get is about 16 gigs.
Yeah.
8 gigs is the minimum that you want to go, but 16 would do a pretty good job in most applications.
All right, Jeremy, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. It's Computers and Tech Today with Tony Yang at Mark Bogosian. The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop today, it's Computers and Tech with Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. And this question came in via email from Barb in someplace, looks like Connecticut. I am a PC user. I hate the latest update that downloaded a new search engine. How do I remove? And that's from Barbara in Jeffersonville, New York. Go ahead, Tony.
Barbara, the search engine. I'm assuming you're talking about Bing, which is Microsoft's version of the search engine. You can go into your browser and change the default search engine for your computer. So you have choices between, you know, Google, right, and Yahoo, and Bing, and there's probably several of the smaller ones as well. But you can switch those around under the settings of your browser and make that a permanent thing for your computer.
What do you use, Tony, for a search engine?
I am mostly on Google.
Yeah. What about you, Mark?
I prefer and recommend Google. I find Bing and some of these others, DuckDuck, they don't necessarily bring you to the actual company or website, whatever you're really searching for. Sometimes it'll bring you to some, you know, ad-laden websites and things like that. So I highly recommend Google as the search directory.
All right, this email came in. I'm not sure if this is for either of you guys, but here it is. This one's from Caitlin. Caitlin writes in, I was wondering if there is a way to hook up my VCR to my modern television so I can record onto VHS tapes.
Wow.
Yeah,
Tony, I don't know if you have experience there. I imagine there's some adapter cables or some kind of converter box, but
I think so actually. I think you can get an HDMI adapter. It would have to be a two-way adapter, I think, but you could probably take the RCA outputs and run it through the HDMI and then from the HDMI into your TV, I think.
Yeah, well, she's trying to record, I guess, from her from the TV to a VCR. It sounds like, not the other way around. Which is interesting. So yes, there are these adapters out there, HDMI to RCA. Yeah. Most of the older VCRs will have a RCA connection, so you can get HDMI to RCA converter and then do the recording that way. So it's possible.
All right, last email here, and then we'll get back to the phones at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. This one from Mark. Mark writes, I bought a computer a few years ago, came with Windows 8 already in it. I never upgraded to Windows 10 because I spent most of my time without internet connection. Is my system in danger if I continue to use Windows 8? What is my future with this computer if I do not upgrade to Windows 10? And that is from Mark. Tony.
Windows 8 was probably one of the worst versions of Windows ever released. So I would say, Mark, you want to get that upgraded as soon as you can. The usability on it is just so much better, and it's a lot more stable. Now, when it comes to whether you absolutely need to upgrade that to use it, no, you don't. I believe Windows 8 is actually still officially supported in one way or another. But you know, if you just do, let's say, office work, Word and Excel, and then some internet browsing, it's going to be okay. I wouldn't use Internet Explorer. I would download Chrome and use Chrome on it instead. But you can use that computer for as long as you want to use it without worrying that it's going to somehow stop working at some point. It won't.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Computers and Tech Today with Mark Bogosian and Tony Yang. Richard is in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Everything in the pandemic is happening to my computer, I believe. I turned it on, and I was moving my mouse around, and the mouse kind of looked a little, the arrow looked a little odd. And then I was trying to connect the, different things with my mouse, and it just stopped, and it wouldn't start again. So I shut down my computer, waited a while, turned it on, and when it came up again, it wouldn't boot up. And I kept on cycling with the sound and then the screen. And after a while, the screen turned a little different color. There was like a yellow little like acetate thing over the Apple symbol. One side of it looked bluish, and one side looked grayish. Okay. And the booting thing went from a blue to a black to a blue, and it wouldn't boot up. It's an older Mac. It's a 2011.
Yep. Okay.
It has High Sierra 10.13.8. I have 16 gigabytes.
All right. Well, let's go to Mark Bogosian. And, Mark, you had a question for Richard.
Yeah, Richard, is it a notebook or a desktop?
Oh no, it's a desktop. It's an iMac, 21.5 inch.
And so you've tried restarting it more than once, and it comes up with the same multicolor display issue.
Right. I left. Okay. I ended up unplugging it and trying it again, and then I tried when it started booting up, I pressed Option Command R and P.
Yep.
Tried to reset it.
It's still doing the same thing, though.
It's still doing the same thing.
Yep.
Once in a while, it's done it twice that I actually, the desktop came on. And I said, oh, well, now it's working. And I took some things off of my desktop and erased them. And then I said, well, I'll just go to Chrome and put it on again and see what happens. And as soon as I connected to the browser, off again. And it's been off since.
Sure. Well, it's a hardware problem of some sort. It's not a software or a virus or anything like that. When you see the screen turn those colors, like you mentioned, during at least one of those startup cycles, that's almost always a hardware problem of some sort. If it's a 2011 27-inch that has its own video card, actually the 21-inch does too, so it's probably something with the main board or the video board, and that would manifest itself in the symptoms that you've been describing. So that said, you may get lucky and the 19th time you turn it on, it may work for an hour or 15 minutes, but it's very likely to be a hardware problem at this point. At this point, the less you turn it on, the better off we'll be in terms of trying to get data backed up if you don't have a recent or current backup drive or files backed up. But it sounds like it's a hardware problem. We'd have to test it to be certain, but that's what you're looking at based on those symptoms.
Richard, thank you very much for the call. It's Computers and Tech Today with Tony Yang at Mark Bogosian. The number is 800-348-2551. Joan is in Albany. Hello, Joan.
Hello. How are you doing? I hope this is a simple question. I have a MacBook Air. And I get confused about saving documents on the cloud versus on the computer. And I have a mess of of files over years that I've just sort of piled up. I'm trying to organize them. And I want to be sure that I do all this work in an appropriate way and don't lose the work I'm doing. So I need advice on organizing computers. If you want to direct me somewhere that I can learn or consult with you, that would be great, because I have I'm cognitively challenged as far as making something systematic. I own that completely.
Well, you know, I think there's got to be a way to set this thing to do it by itself, Mark, right?
Well, yes, there are yes and no. If you do enable the Apple Cloud to back up your desktop and documents, which is one of the available services that the cloud offers, then any files that are on your desktop and document folder will automatically be backed up to the cloud, so you have a safe backup. They're accessible remotely and so forth.
The question is whether and how that can be safe for me so that I understand. You know, I do have that automatic timed backup, as a matter of fact. I got help at the Apple Store years ago. So I'm on a timed backup,
right.
But I need to know how myself now, how I can do something that stays on my computer, because sometimes I find myself working without the Wi-Fi access.
Yes.
And if everything's up on the cloud, I'm stuck with having to be on a Wi-Fi, right?
Right. No, and that makes sense. If you're not on Wi-Fi and it's only on the cloud, it's hard to access. Although, again, with the Apple Cloud feature, it will leave a copy of your files on your desktop and documents. It's more a matter, it sounds like, Joan, you just need to have somebody kind of visually identify where your stuff is and what the options are. I know a Mac guy in Latham, New York, that does that kind of thing that you could probably contact and get that kind of help.
Well, I mean,
that could be so perfect.
Is there an online way to get sort of a fact on all these things? I mean, is there a good spot where all this information resides?
You know, I found over the years, because I've, in addition to the, you know, repairs and service, I've done literally hundreds and hundreds of hours of training, that sometimes just seeing it, being in front of it and having somebody point to this and that is the better way. But, yeah, the Apple's, you know, Apple's website does have some pretty straightforward, you know, diagrams and some tutorials, not videos, but explanation of how it all works. But it's all up to individuals' learning, you know, style and what they've got in front of them in terms of, you know, how messy or how disorganized it might be or organized.
True enough. And I know that one of my daughters has the same issue with all her photos are on the cloud. She said, I got 5,000 photos on my phone. I said, I don't think there's room for that. And sure, they're all in the cloud. So we had to change the settings so that if she wants to put them there, she can, or she can keep them on her phone, which is what she wanted. Let's go to Rick in Rhinebeck. Rick, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Glad to hear your show.
Thanks.
What I'm curious about is I have an older HP Pavilion G7. I just recently upgraded the RAM from 4 to 8. It won't take any more than that. And I have my laptop connected to a big 38-inch screen because I do programming. And when I'm streaming Netflix, even though I have good Spectrum Wi-Fi service, it seems to get bogged down. Is that a root cause at the source, or is that something in my old computer?
Well, that's a great question.
Hey, Rick, are you just using the HDMI port from your laptop and connecting that to the monitor?
Yes, just using it like a dual monitor setup.
Okay. I use Netflix myself all the time. The connection usually is pretty dependable. I don't think, you know, if you were using a device that converts a let's say USB to HDMI, that could be a source of the issue. I don't think that it's your video card capability that's causing that. Sounds to me like it's more related to the internet stream instead. I will make sure that you have shut off all the other. If you got anything else running in the back end,
shut those off and just run one browser with Netflix and see if that makes a difference. I'm suspecting that it's some other thing in the back of the computer that's making it hesitate like that.
Rick.
Well, what about is there any way that you know of that I can switch to a network card that would be able to recognize the 5G to get a better streaming signal?
Hmm.
The 5G
from the Spectrum modem from the they have a 5G.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi.
Oh, from the
I'm sitting at my laptop.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, from the Wi-Fi. If I have my phone on the Wi-Fi, I can get on 5G and I get like over 100 meg.
My laptop doesn't even see
that the 5G is there.
Yeah. So, Rick, you can easily buy a USB Wi-Fi adapter. So, yes, there are a ton of different adapters out there that will give you a later chip, which can give you a boost on the Wi-Fi signal. So, yes, absolutely. I mean, go on Amazon, or even over at Best Buy, any of these places will have these USB adapters.
Yeah, and they do work pretty well. Rick, thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Computers Today, Tech Today, Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service in Latham, Tony Yang of Gig Computers in Albany, and let's go to who has been waiting the longest. Simon in Wyndham. Simon, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question is a pretty simple question. How do I transfer music from CD onto my old iPod Nano 7th generation without iTunes?
Without iTunes. Aha.
You can't. You need to have iTunes. With the older devices like that, because they don't use the cloud, you'd have to rip them, as they say, copy them from the CDs into an iTunes application folder, whether Mac or PC, and then from there, sync that with the device.
My iTunes stopped working on my PC. And I currently am using MacBook, and this thing, I can't even hook up like a CD drive to it because the MacBook Pro 2017, I don't think it accepts it.
No, you can get an external CD drive. Apple and other companies make external CD drives. They're relatively inexpensive, and they're plug and play, so you don't have to do anything special other than
I understand that I can still get iTunes for my MacBook Pro?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's a different, it's called Apple Music now, but there is a way to rip music and import it.
And there's a way of syncing my iPod with the program.
That would be the key.
Yeah.
Right?
With the music stored in a computer, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's right. The only concern I'd have, Simon, is, and I don't have an easy way to look that up, but with the much older iPods, there is a break point where they just will not work with any current versions of iTunes. So now yours, again, I don't know right off the cuff with all the iPods.
It's the seventh generation. This is the last generation of the little one.
Right. I would think that would work, but I don't have firsthand experience with that particular device on the current iTunes. So, logically, that's how you do it from the iTunes to the device. It would just be a matter of whether it's too old, the device is too old to connect to the current iTunes.
All right, Simon, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. It's Computers and Tech Today with Tony Yang at Mark Bogosian. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Rick Raff here. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's Computers and Tech Today. Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian here to answer your questions. And, gentlemen, a couple of emails have come in. Val writes, and this goes back to the person who had the strange colors on the monitor on the Mac. And she writes, I had a problem with a computer color once. It was a loose cable connection. Mark, does that sound plausible to you?
Well, not in this case because it's an iMac. It's an all-in-one.
Ah.
The only way a cable would come loose inside that type of unit is if somebody opened it up and didn't put it back together correctly.
Okay. This one's from Stu in Poughkeepsie, and there are some typos here, so I may sound like I'm from another planet, but here we go. A friend of mine has recommended the Motorola E5 series on smartphone, and he says that because of their, I believe, ruggedness and durability, and was wondering what you suggest. And I'm sorry, Stu. There's a reason for your typos. I apologize. All right, well, what do you think, guys? Don't all jump at once.
Yeah.
So I've tried the Motorola a few times, I got to say I'm favoring the Samsung Galaxy phones. I have I believe this is a S9 or S10. I dropped it a bunch of times. You know, I get a case, a military grade case, and I dropped that in the water. I dropped it from a desk. I dropped it from my hand. Never, this thing doesn't break. And I guess the best thing is it's waterproof for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's my personal experience. Okay. I tried Motorola's a few times, and just, you know, there's some stuff that just works better on a Samsung. So that's my personal experience.
Fair enough. What the heck are you doing dropping an expensive phone in the water, by the way? What happened there?
You know, I go fishing. I go in a boat sometimes, and then if I get this thing in my pocket, and I need to do something, it falls out. All kinds of crazy stuff. I drop this thing onto the Mohawk, using the fishing net to bring that up, and you know, it was okay.
All right, fair
at the end of the day, it was running again. So
amazing. This one came in from Gene. Gene says, "I have a 2020 MacBook Air. I bought a full Logitech keyboard that I tried to connect. It finds the device, appears to be connecting, then times out with an error of failure to connect. I've turned Bluetooth on and off, rebooted my computer, changed batteries in the keyboard, turned it on and off, and tried the various channels on the keyboard. No luck. The keyboard will connect to my iPhone and iPad, but not my laptop. Any suggestions?" And that's from Gene.
Well, Gene, when you connect to a Bluetooth device, it creates a little profile file for that device. And sometimes those become corrupted, or they're just corrupted from the beginning. So what I would do is, if you go into Bluetooth, you would tell it to forget that device and then try to re-add that device. Another thing to try in a case like this is, if you can get your hands on some other Bluetooth device, even your phone, and see if that computer will properly connect to it as well and remain connected. On very rare occasions, even though it's a brand new computer, there is a slight possibility that there's some type of hardware problem with the Bluetooth card inside that system. So I would first go into Bluetooth, tell it to forget that device, restart the computer, and then try to re-add that device, connect it, resync it. And then also, as a secondary diagnostic process, try connecting to some other Bluetooth device with that same computer. We've established that the keyboard seems to work with your phone and other devices, so let's see if we can find another Bluetooth device to see if it's going to work with that computer as well.
All right, makes sense. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Aaron in East Greenbush, you're on. Or not. Hello, Aaron. No. Okay. Well, goodbye, Aaron, and thank you. Sorry you wasted 18 minutes and 12 seconds. Let's go to Steve in Albany. Steve, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering, what do you do when the computer freezes after you've rung up over $100 worth of groceries at the grocery store and you're in the checkout line when it's freezes.
Why don't you do a commentary on this, Steve? That's a good one. All right, Tony Yang, you want to take that?
So, wait, Steve, you're saying that these cash registers that you're using freezes up? Is that what you're talking about?
The grocery store cash register froze with me sitting there with, I think it was $119 worth of groceries already sort of rung up, but of course I couldn't pay the bill or whatever.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was at, I remember a similar experience at Sam's Club. I used my phone to scan everything because, you know, it's a cashless transaction. It's a register-free transaction. So you go in there, you scan everything, and you do it all on your phone. I must have picked up, I don't know, $500-$600 worth of groceries because we had a bunch of people coming over. And I lost it all. So I had to rescan everything all over. I mean, things happen. Technology isn't perfect. And, it's part of life.
You know, if you haven't guessed, this is Steve Gottlieb, who does political commentary here. You know, maybe you
should do
a little Andy Rooney thing every now and then. You ever notice you go to the grocery store? Or on second thought, no, I take that back. All right, so there
you go. Well, I was thinking you guys would get a chuckle over it.
Well, good luck, man. You know, ordinarily, I was at the liquor store the other day and bought a bottle of Bibb & Tucker bourbon. And they had a little trouble with my card. I came back. There were two on my account. But they,
right.
So I had to go back and get another one. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Go ahead, Tony.
Ray, I don't know if I ever told you, but Steve was my wife's law professor at Albany Law. So we go back a long way.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Great hearing from you, Steve.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. All right, let's go back to the lines here at 800-348-2551. Clark in Pittsfield. Clark, you're on.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm a 70-year-old retired engineer, and I've been playing with computers since they came out and before. Anyway, recently I had my 2011 high-powered computer refuse to boot up, and in a panic because I've had it for so long with all the installed software, I started buying spare bits and pieces of the same brand, you know, Asus motherboard and same CPU and et cetera, and finally decided, well, maybe it's the power supply because I've had that happen before, even though this was an intermittent problem. So I got the power supply, and sure enough, that was what it was. So as a result, I have basically the same computer in pieces, and I was wondering if I could put it all together and move the C drive over and then boot it up, and it would function as if it were the other computer.
Tony.
Windows 10.
Yeah, so that is a hit and miss, unfortunately. Most of the time, it does work with Windows 10 if you move that drive over to another system, but it doesn't always work.
Why?
Because the drivers in there may not be compatible with the new hardware that's in the other computer. Other times it could be
It's an identical motherboard and an identical AMD processor, quad core. It's all the same same devices. The only device that might be different would be the RAM would be a different brand, and that's about it.
Yeah, the RAM usually is compatible from one PC to the other, but with the same exact motherboard, and that's probably the most important thing is that if the motherboard is the exact type, you have a better chance of having it work than not. But then you have other parts of the PC. A newer model may have a different version of the video chip in there, even though it may be on the same model of the motherboard. From one year to another, they might have a different revision of the chip, and then the codes change. So that sometimes could be a problem. I would say your best bet is to get the latest. Well, if you had an older computer that worked, get all the latest drivers before you move it. But unfortunately, in your case,
you don't have a choice of going back to the old computer. So the one thing you can do, pop in a Windows 10 and have it do a repair, and see if that works. That could sometimes be your best option. The other thing is to go into see if you can go into a repair mode. If that loads up, then you've got some routes that you can take.
Clark, thank you very much for the call. Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian here today to answer your computer and tech questions. Let's go to Kyle in Cobleskill. Kyle.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. So my brother-in-law got a Asus Republic of Gaming computer, and it's really nice. But he wanted to find out if he could upgrade the RAM because it's got 16 gigs built in. So I looked into it, and it looks like it can be upgraded to 24 gigs. But some people online were saying that the built-in RAM is synced up, and that adding another 8 gigs is actually going to throw that out of sync and slow the computer down. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, Kyle, that's unusual. Usually on a PC, you know, RAMs are soldered onto the motherboard and it's built in, and they give you space to expand. That normally would by default be configured so that it is still in what we call the pair mode on the memory. So memories either go in pairs or they can go in fashions of three as well. So if you got 24 gigs already built in and there's room to expand, that normally will be configured to optimize the speeds on the memory. So what I would do is you know, if there's only two slots on there, make sure that you get two chips. So if you want to get another 8 gigs, get 2 4 gigs instead of just 1 8 gig. That will keep that speed in sync.
Sorry, to clarify, there's 16 gigs actually built into the computer. There's no available slot for that. And there's only one slot that you can insert another chip into.
Okay. So if that is the case, if you only have one memory chip slot on there, most memory configurations are in pairs. One in, that would decrease your speed. I mean, 2-3%. It is not a huge significant decrease in performance. So I would personally, I would do the upgrade and get the benefit of more RAM on there than worrying about that slight speed decrease.
Kyle, thank you very much. Our number is 800-348-2551. Joe is in Pittsfield. Joe.
Hello. I have a question about security. I'm using a Windows 10 Dell PC. That Windows 10 is updated to the latest version. I've enabled Windows security and controlled file access, and I use periodic malware byte scans. So the question is, what is the value added by installing an aftermarket paid security suite?
You are doing all the right things. Having tools running on your computer obviously decreases the amount of resources available for other things. So we have always traditionally recommend that you have two layers of protection, right? There's the Malwarebytes, which is a great piece of software that can sit there and continuously scan for malware on your computer and spyware. And then we also recommend that you have something else. So things like a Norton 360 or McAfee.
That's the kind of paid security suite I'm talking about. Doesn't Windows Security with controlled file access take the place of that?
It does. Windows 10 now has its own virus and spyware protection, although it is not as sophisticated as some of the commercial offerings out there like Norton. Is the protection enough for most cases? I think so. I will say the answer is yes to that. If you're looking for a yes and no answer on that, yes, I think the protection is generally enough. However, if you want to have the better software and the better protection out there, then these third party, what you refer to as aftermarket software, offers a bit more protection than the built-in one.
Joe, thanks a lot. And now let's go over to Gene in East Hampton, Mass. Gene. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My son decided to buy a 32 RAM upgrade to his new Dell laptop and install it himself so he could play more video games. Put it in without taking out the battery. There was an alarm sound. We figured out how to get the battery out. Took care of getting it together, got it working for a couple hours, and then it just completely died. And we're afraid that he may have done something to the motherboard. So I just wanted to ask about that and ask what else we should be checking.
Good heavens. All right, Tony.
Wow. Okay, so here's the first thing that I will recommend you doing. Unplug the power cable from the laptop. Take the battery out. And then press the power a few times. Now, why are we doing? We're doing that because there are these capacitors in the laptop that would hold a little bit of power so that it retains some of that some of the information on the PC on the laptop. Yeah. So if you just unplug the power, take the battery out, and press it a few times, that would drain the power completely. And that, believe it or not, on occasion is the problem with these PCs and laptops not booting up because there's some residual stuff left in there. So I would certainly recommend that first. And then if that doesn't work, take the memories out, put the old ones back and see if it's a memory chip problem. But I would try the first one first, the first method first, and see if you can clear some of the residual cache on there. That's a tough situation to be in. You know, memory upgrades are fairly simple. You take the old chips out, put the new chips in, or just add another chip. Every once in a while, something can go haywire like this. But give those a try.
In the old days when doing these upgrades to RAM, I remember having to go into the boot menu and actually adjust some of the settings in the BIOS. Yeah. Is that necessary anymore?
That's usually not necessary these days. Most of the newer PCs auto-updates the amount of memory on there. So we haven't had to do that for a long, long time now.
Okay, well, it shows you how old I am. Gene, thanks a lot for the call. Mark Bogosian, if people want to find Castle Mac Service, how do they do that?
CastleComp.com on the web.
CastleComp.com. And are you doing house calls? Are you seeing people in the store? Yeah.
I have shop hours by appointment and limited, but some house calls, yes.
Tony Yang, how do people find Gig Computers?
Yeah, our website is at www.giggsystems.com.
Some of the colleges that you service with your company, are they running into bandwidth issues with all the remote learning going on?
Fortunately, no bandwidth issues because we always, we always have a lot of extra capacity. So we typically run at 50%. So there's 50% of capacity left. Mm. What we do run into now are more issues with tech support because they're doing so many more things now on their devices.
All right.
So far, so good.
All right, man. Well, listen, best of luck to both of you, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Support comes from Theta Dermatology, celebrating 25 years, providing dermatological care in the Capital Region, a practice founded by Dr. Theta Patterson. When it comes to skin, this practice is in THETADermatology.com. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, specialty sports eyewear, sunglasses, and eye exams since 1953. Sheehy Opticians.com. Thanks again to Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service and Tony Yang of Gig Computers for joining us. Thank you for listening and for the calls and the email. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we welcome back our buddy, meteorologist Jason Goff, and we'll whine about the weather together tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for the book show.